The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you in the morning on Friday, May 31st. Yes, we're live and local here in our studio on Federico Drive, and glad to have you along for the ride this morning. We have a nice, crisp, bright morning out there. Sounds like it's going to be a good day and a good day tomorrow in the weather forecast, so we like that for the beginning of June coming up. We have a great show for you today. We have two excellent guests coming. We have Rebecca Breen for the first half. She's the managing director of Downtown Pittsfield, Inc., and we're going to be talking about reimagined Dunham Mall and many, many other things that DPI is doing over the next couple of months. Not even looking past the summer, there's just so much going on. So we'll talk to Rebecca about that. In the second half, we'll have Kathy Bisbee. She is the director of the Alliance for Digital Equity. We'll be talking about navigating technology and the internet and access to broadband and digital skills. Lots of interesting stuff coming up in that discussion. First, let's go to the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the upper 40s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, sunny. Highs in the upper 70s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
That's the way we like it. Short and sweet. We don't need much more than to say it's going to be nice. It's going to be, pleasant in the 70s. No rain, no wind, nothing like that. And same thing tomorrow. So got to love that. All right. Welcome to the show here, Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Joining me is Rebecca Breen. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you?
Good morning, Sean. I'm well. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Good. Great. And thanks for joining me here in the morning. We appreciate it. So much going on in downtown these days.
Anytime I'll be here, we always have stuff to talk about.
And so what many people have been noticing is an effort that Downtown Pittsfield, Inc. has been putting together along with your partners in reimagining the space that we know as Dunham Mall. And I think that we did speak about that at one time in the last time you were here on the show. And there have been some developments there. And there's now an opportunity to get some funding and make something happen there. So let's talk about that. Where did it start and where is it now?
So where it started actually was last November, where Downtown Pittsfield, Inc. and Downtown Pittsfield Cultural Association, which is our nonprofit arm, applied for a grant through Mass Development and the state. The Commonwealth Places grant is specifically designed as a match from Mass Development to activate spaces that are of public use in your downtowns. We specified two specific options that we wanted funding for. One of them was for Berkshire Lightscapes, which is sort of its own entity, but that was going to allow us to light up some more buildings.
And people have obviously seen that already in some areas. It just looks stunning at night, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. And the nice thing is we'll be able to use that for our South Street corridor sort of as the welcome into town, which is great. But the larger project is actually to help us look at our Dunham Mall space along with Burbank Park, which sort of leads to the McKay Street parking lot. And sometimes that sort of is a side project as part of this note. But it has been identified that these two spaces are key for activating for our public use, with new lighting, new seating. There are some safety concerns that we've looked at that we really want to make these places welcoming and be able to be used by everyone in our community.
Yeah.
The biggest thing, though, is it's a matching grant.
Okay.
Which means that they will offer us for the Dunham Mall project up to $35,000 if we can also provide $35,000 in public funds.
Yeah. So that's the challenge right there, right?
It is. And again, we understand from our community and from our taxpayers that they don't want that coming out of the city funds.
Mm-hmm.
And we absolutely agree with that and wanted to do something that was separate from the city so that we could manage it and not put that on them as another, you know, cost to them or even the manpower that it takes to organize something like this.
So how do you plan on finding those public funds then to get the match from Mass Development TDI?
So we did a little bit of investigation locally, and we have some great partners. Pittsfield Beautiful, who are the ones who do our plantings in downtown, a whole volunteer group, has offered $15,000 in matching funds.
Wow.
So if you were to donate, say, $50, Pittsfield Beautiful will match $50, and then Mass Development will give us the $100 match.
Wow.
So your dollars can go a long way with this.
Yeah.
On the same respect, NBT Bank wants to add art into the Burbank Place section of this project, and so they donated $2,000.
Oh, great.
So Pittsfield Beautiful's matching that $2,000, and now Mass Development's going to give us four.
Great.
So
that's the way it works.
It does. Yeah. You know, and again, a donation from a community member will go a long way. What we did realize, though, is we had some concepts at the beginning.
Yeah.
We brought on a local architect, and we talked about how we could imagine Dunham Mall to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we put out images to the public and said, we want your feedback.
Yeah. And as we know, images tell 1,000 words, right?
They
a lot
do.
Of times, and it can lock people into the thought that that is how it's actually going to be built. Whereas at the time, right, they're concepts.
Yes. So at the time, on our end, we were not clear that what we were looking for is sort of feedback on how those images and structures would work for the public.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal always was to add greenery and lighting to the project because we found that was key with our individuals who came in and helped us with this concept. And so the public, I don't know, were aware that that was the goal and only saw the structures.
Yeah.
So we heard that, absolutely. And we love the fact that we received the feedback. We love the fact that our partners and some individuals who are very in tune to the downtown came to us. They filled out the forms that we asked them to. They made phone calls. They met with us in person and talked about what they thought would be a more usable space for our community.
Yeah.
So we stepped back.
Well, and, you know, to me, I think about getting that kind of feedback at that stage of the project is the critical time, right? You certainly don't want things to be, you know, proceeding down the road where all the plans are in place and the contractor's all set to go and everything. And people say, wait a minute, that's not what we want here. So just the idea that, you know, you have the process and it actually is a very positive thing. I think that people are that interested in this space, that they want that space to be something improved that can be used by, you know, so many of our residents and families in the area. So that's kind of the concept there, right?
Absolutely. And one of the things that I think people don't always know is that Downtown Pittsfield, Inc., we're a chamber of commerce. We represent our members, which include property owners and businesses, but it also includes the residents of our downtown. And it also includes the people who are coming to our downtown who maybe don't live there to come for an event or come for lunch. One of our major partners is the Pittsfield Community Design Center. Community is in their name.
Yes.
So Nick Russo also is helping to head up this project. And of course, the Mass Development TDI program is specifically about finding out what your community wants. So as partners, this is the absolute goal for everything we do. Is to have the community understand what the process is, to understand what our goals are, and to give us the feedback that we want.
Yeah, and that's kind of a critical little spot in downtown, also, right? It's if anyone's ever tried to move from spot to spot, and I know that we're fixed into getting in our cars and driving somewhere and parking and going to that one thing you need to do, and then getting back in your car and going. That's just the society that we've had for so many years. But I think it's starting to open up more where people people find, you know, walkable spaces to be more enjoyable and to find that, you know, you can park somewhere, but then you can make your way through. And that is one of those kind of critical connections between a couple different places, right? Between the City Hall area and North Street, and also between, let's say, First Street and Park Square. There's lots of sort of connecting tissue there. And then, of course, all of the things that are going on in that part of North Street.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as more storefronts are being filled, and as we are seeing in the future more housing being available in our downtown with other projects going on, having a green public space is imperative for people to be able to become a community and for people's mental health as well.
Yeah.
We have an open space right now in Dunham Mall for a restaurant, and one of the individuals who is currently looking at it has talked about how wouldn't it be nice for someone to be able to get lunch, sit outside at a desk, maybe pop open their computer and have a nice little working lunch in the mall.
Right.
You know, or for events such as our first Fridays at 5,
yeah.
You know, it'll be wonderful to have that sort of space to be able to have maybe the kids events there or the marketplace or just maybe a busker doing some music where people can sit and gather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can imagine a lot of things that could happen there.
Absolutely.
For sure. And that space, when was the last time that some love was given to that area? Because it was reconstructed with the current sort of pavers and things that you, the street lamps and things that you see now. It screams 80s to me. Is that about the time?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And one of the things that in our project and in our proposals that we realized is that the what would be considered hardscape, such as the pavers, aren't currently on the schedule for the city for improvement.
Hmm.
So all of the things that we are looking to add would be considered semi-permanent structures so that they could be moved so that when that does come up to redo that walkway, that we can just take things out and put them back in, maybe add to some things to it at that time. So we are really being conscious about not wasting any of this money that we're able to collect and then spend.
And it does add to the vibrancy of that part of the city, right? And
amazing, yes.
Yeah, you need to draw people in, and you know there's ways to do that, and that's definitely one of them. I could imagine, you know, that restaurant space could probably be quite in high demand at some point if this project does come to fruition the way it's being imagined right now. So
absolutely. And in fact, we've already added bistro lights. If you haven't driven by in the evening, that alone has received such positive feedback, in fact, in terms of how it feels in the evenings and how people use it now. Mm-hmm. So it's fantastic.
Excellent. So again, we'll just mention that it's an ongoing fundraiser. When do you think that this will, is there a deadline for wrapping that up? What's the schedule?
Absolutely. So at this time, we need to request the funds from Mass Development by June 28th.
Okay. So it is kind of a short schedule.
It is a short schedule at this time. You know, and when we've reintroduced this to reimagine Dunham Mall, we have different levels of what could happen with the funds. So if we collect $7,500 of our money to be matched, then we can do some simple things like the lights that we talked about that have already been put in. But the higher our collection from crowdfunding goes, the more that you will see happen. In order to donate, it's actually a site called Patronicity. You can find all the information at Downtown Pittsfield Inc.'s website. You can look at our social media page. The key is when you go on to Patronicity, you want to use the keyword Dunham.
Spelled D-U-N-H-A-M.
Correct.
Dunham.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So that you're going to go to the Downtown Pittsfield website, which is?
DowntownPittsfield.com.
DowntownPittsfield.com. And you'll find all the information there on how to donate to this fundraiser to help leverage some more money to continue the work and, you know, the reimagining of Dunham Mall. Sounds fantastic. Rebecca Breen is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive. And let's talk about a couple other things going on. So you've got Downtown Blooms. Let's find out. I think we mentioned that briefly the last time you were here, but we didn't have the nice green trees and flowers coming up and everything the last time you were here. So now it feels real. What's going on with Downtown Blooms?
Downtown Blooms is actually happening, and it's great. So Pittsfield Beautiful, along with Downtown Pittsfield Inc., have identified that our plants in our downtown would really do better as perennials.
Mm.
So what they have done is they selected 40 planters within our downtown.
We have 40 planters.
Oh, we have over 80.
We have 80 planters. Yes. I had no idea.
Yes. Wow. So these are what are city-owned planters. So these are different from what you see usually, the big overflowing annuals. These are actually city-designated. So you'll see some that are in front of, for example, the senior center.
Mm-hmm.
There's some there.
Okay.
There are some that are on little pockets, and they're along the side.
Is it sidewalk or median or both?
So we're doing sidewalks for now.
Okay.
And they have planted perennials that will bloom every year, which is wonderful. Mm. Our other planters this year will be kept clean and maintained by a new landscape company who has come in. If you look at their work, they're doing all over the city for us in terms of practice, but it's Pittsfield Beautiful is doing a wonderful job. You will see signs that will be going up this weekend on which ones are the planters that you'll see. And then in the fall, we'll be doing Persett Park. Next year, we're identifying another 30 planters that will be done. Any of the plants that we currently have, such as the daylilies, are going to be transplanted into other areas outside of our downtown because they thrive. But the plants that were chosen are natives. They are pollinators, and they are meant to thrive in our community.
Some real thought has to go into this, right? Because you have to think about it. You're adding perennials instead of annuals, so that cuts down on the amount of work, I would imagine, that has to be put in. There still has to be some work, as you know, that you know, as you try and plant things, you're going to get weeds also, right? So that always has to get taken care of. But just the idea that you have to choose the plants that will make the most sense in these areas and that will require probably a little less work, but also still provide the benefit.
Absolutely. And in fact, this is a 3-year plan.
Mm.
So we started in this spring from Park Square to Maplewood. And we made sure that the gardens that were selected, and I say we when I say Pittsfield Beautiful, selected the gardens that would give a nice little pop throughout that district. From there, next year, we'll complete that. And as I mentioned, some of the city parks. And then in year 3, we will expand out to go all the way to planned for to BMC, where the new roundabout will be, and all the way down to South Street, corner of West Housatonic Street, to be adding plants there as well.
Wow, that's quite a long strip if you think about it.
It is. It is a very long strip. And I think one of the things that people often, you know, it'll be a great segue for people coming into Pittsfield. And it'll also be in stages worked with changes that may be being made by the city in terms of the design of North Street.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's so important to have that connection when you're entering the city, right? The gateway to the city, if you will.
Absolutely.
What's that first impression that we have when someone new is coming to Pittsfield and you look in and you say, what's this place like? You know, and that's a first impression. It's hard not to create a first impression with that.
Absolutely. And that's why for DPI, our reach goes all the way down further into South Street, down to where Doctors Park is, and goes all the way to Wacona and the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So in one block in either direction.
Yeah.
So we're just expanding. You know, you need to start small with a lot of these things and then build as you see what works and what doesn't. And, you know, we're just trying to do one little bit at a time.
So when will people first start to sort of appreciate and see the benefit of all this work? Because it sounds like if they're perennials, will they start coming up this year or we have to wait till next year?
We ordered full plants. So you will see starting, you know, within weeks, you'll see, of course, you see greenery now there, but you will start seeing flowers this year. Absolutely.
That's going to be great.
Yes.
That'll be fun. So Downtown Blooms, another project that you have going. A lot of balls in the air, don't you?
We do.
Yeah. and of course, that leads me to my next topic, which is First Fridays at 5, which is, believe it or not, coming up again next week already. Next Friday is the First Friday. And how did the first one go? Because I didn't get a chance to go. Unfortunately, I was tied up, but I will definitely make it out to one of these. I understand that, that a lot of people were happy about it and that they would like to see it expanded. I'm sure you get a lot of that same feedback. How did it go and where do you see it headed?
We had great feedback for our first event for this, I have to say. We had some great positive suggestions as well. So our first event went from North Street to the corner of Fenn and Depot, where the street was closed off. We had music We had kids events. We had vendors. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that we are highlighting for this upcoming week is that there are actually, I think we counted 8 food options right within the closed-in area. We're helping them with being able to serve food on the streets as part of it. We purposely did not bring in food trucks for this one in particular because we wanted people to try the new restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, we have a Brazilian restaurant, Espetino's. We have a Brazilian marketplace that does baked goods at Brazuca's. We have Placita Latina, which offers great food. Mm. And that's in addition to your staples, mm-hmm. such as Hot Harry's, mm-hmm. And of course the marketplace. Otto's actually came to the street itself mm-hmm. and did a cookout in the beer garden next to Hot Plate. Mm. We even had just outside the closed in area, we had Brooklyn's Best serving pizza out on the street. Hmm. We had Marie's North Street Eatery with new table seating outside of their restaurant. Mm-hmm. And Poncho's was hopping. So there are plenty of options for food during that. And so we're trying to highlight that a little bit more so people, you know, don't miss the food truck thing.
Yeah. So those were the areas that weren't closed off, right? So you have from Park Square to Fenn and Depot Street. That was that basically one city block's
yes.
worth. And then there was some music also and at the city band shell, right? And that was that at one of the parks just one block down?
So we had music on the main stage, which was located right at the corner of North and Park Square. So that was within the closed off area. We have kids entertainment. And this time around, it will include not just a balloon twister, but it will include Beat Nest, which is a school that teaches kids how to do electronic music in the kids area. And that's all in Dunham Mall.
Okay.
And then we do activate the parks that go along North Street. So both Persip Park and Sotilly Park will have entertainment again this time. We have the Pug and John Show playing music at Persip. Hmm. And we have the Drag Story Hour doing events at Sotilly.
Great.
And part of that has to do with the fact that this is in conjunction with the First Friday's Arts Walk.
Right.
So the Arts Walk.
It's really a combined event.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you can see art and have meetings with the artists at places like Hotel on North and at Dorothy's further down north. We're also providing a shuttle that goes from City Hall down to the Clock Tower Artists every 15 minutes. And RSVP is providing that so that individuals who want to get the full experience of the Arts Walk, but maybe don't want to walk so much, have the opportunity to check out all of the great artists there.
That one is kind of a long walk from that area down to the clock tower, but so important to get down there and take a look at that.
Yes, and again, this time around, we have dance going on with Wandering Dance and Jacob's Pillow. We also have, as I said, we have the band that'll be at the main stage. We have a pottery demonstration. So Happy Together is the band that's on the city stage.
Great.
That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much going on in the future. I mean, we have August will be DJ that'll be celebrating a birthday party for United Way. And come September, we will bring those food trucks in.
Interesting.
By September, we're going to expand the footprint to include the block that goes all the way to Columbus.
Okay, so
and we'll
there is a chance that it will get bigger.
It will, yeah. You know, and we're trying to see what works and what doesn't.
Right.
But a food truck rodeo needs that space.
Yeah, you gotta have
so
it.
We in September you will see a bevy of food trucks that will be there, and that's just the beginning of what we'll be doing for programming for Hispanic Heritage Month.
Oh, great. Look at that. There's just a ton of stuff going on.
I know.
And so there are 5 of them this year, right? So it's May, June, July, August, September.
Correct.
And so September is, we're just looking out ahead, but we've got some great ones coming up, including one next Friday. So just throwing it out there again, First Fridays at 5 is next Friday, June 7th. At 5 p.m. And how long does it go for? How long does that block get closed off for?
So we actually close the block down starting into traffic itself around 3:30 to allow the vendors to set up. And then it should be open up for traffic, within a half an hour of the conclusion at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. But the other thing to remember is the things that go on after 8 p.m. We have some
things don't just stop.
They
at 8
don't
p.m.,
stop.
Right?
You can go to dinner. You can go to a show. Mm-hmm. There might be a baseball game in the works.
Mm. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yes. But that'll come out.
we haven't had enough baseball in Pittsfield this year.
I know.
So it's nice to see some of that come
back. Yeah. No, watch for the press release. Follow us, of course, on downtownpittsfield.com. All of the events are detailed on the Love Pittsfield website. Mm-hmm. And, of course, both of our social medias. You'll see all things flying around.
And, again, a lot of connection with the cultural department of the city of Pittsfield there with First Fridays at 5 doing an excellent job as well.
And, you know, those collaborations are what make it us. It allows us to do more. Mm-hmm. We are a small team, and we need help. So we will always accept someone who wants to partner with us.
Yep, that's the beauty of it. And so let's talk about one more quick topic, which is your offices.
Yes.
The Downtown Pittsfield Inc. offices has been a mainstay where you are currently, and I hear that is about to change.
Yes. So Downtown Pittsfield Inc., we are growing. We are getting bigger. We have more to do. And our office spaces, if you ever come to visit me, look like a storage room. And we actually made an inquiry for an open space on downtown for a client, for one of our members. And it was proposed that maybe that would be the spot for us. So we are actually moving mid-June. We will be in 431 North Street. So that is the former Jan Perry Real Estate office. We are right across the street from Dottie's. My coffee budget needs to be increased. So it will allow for as a staff possibly to add someone at some point in time, whether it be an intern or someone else. But the nice thing is that we are also going to be managing 437 North Street, which is what is remaining of Framework.
Okay.
Anyone who's not familiar with Framework, it was a co-working space that was very large. Pre-pandemic, as more people are working from home.
And then the world changed, right?
Yeah. We were lucky enough that the property owner has developed half of that space to be a wonderful new beauty salon. It's hip and cool, and I don't know whether beauty salon is really the right word for it, but check them out. They do lashes. They all do all sorts of great stuff.
Okay.
But half of it is still meeting rooms. So we will be offering both for our memberships as well as the community the option to rent out a boardroom, to have a classroom. We also then have two semi-private offices. So if you need a location in our downtown that you need every day, it's a small little space. We could rent it out to you for 3 months, 6 months, a year at a time. And then the second one will be offered as a day rental. And that means if you do work from home, but you need to have a meeting with a client and you don't want your husband and kids to be underfoot, then you could rent this space out just for the day. So it's going to be a great opportunity for us. We love the fact that we will be headed down to the Maplewood section, Dottie's and Circa, some brand new shops down there, and we will be front and center on North Street.
That'll be a different location, but still right in the heart of everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. We love our neighbors down there. We've worked with them in many ways, and I just think it's important for us as a Chamber of Commerce to acknowledge the fact that there are so many opportunities everywhere in our downtown.
Yeah. And you make a point of that all the time, and it's so good to hear that the word gets out. Rebecca Breen, you do a great job there at Downtown Pittsfield Inc. We want to thank you so much for being here today. And if anyone wants to contact you, get some more information, especially about the reimagined Dunham Mall project that's happening, how do they get a hold of you?
So you can email me at rbreen@downtownpittsfield.com. That's B-R-I-E-N. You can stop down to our new offices after June 15th. And if you want more information on the Reimagined Dunham Mall, we'll also be having a booth at the First Fridays at 5.
Right. And got to put that in there again. First Fridays at 5 is next Friday, 5 p.m. right in downtown Pittsfield. Thanks again for being here. It's great. Great talking to you. I know we'll have another chance to have you on, and we'll talk about how the Dunham Mall project is moving along next time you're here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you. And folks, we'll be right back with Kathy Bisbee. She'll be talking about digital equity and all kinds of good stuff coming up in the second half of the show. We'll take that top of the hour break that we always do right now, and we'll be returning right after that. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Another hour of powerhouse hits. We will rock you from the station. station that rocks. 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from the Office of Cultural Development in Pittsfield. The next First Fridays at 5 is June 7th and will feature a community sponsor, Berkshire Pride, a Jacob's Pillow interactive performance, live music from Happy Together at the City Stage, and much more. Don't miss First Fridays at 5 on North Street in downtown Pittsfield. For more details, go to lovepittsfield.com. And from Park Square Productions. Park Square Productions provides high-quality video and audio productions for businesses and nonprofit organizations throughout the Berkshires. Find more information about Park Square Productions and what they can do for you at parksquareproductions.com. Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you can show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBRFM, for the love of radio.
Some news outlets tell you what to believe, and they limit your access to the whole story. Some of them are just plain ugly and mean. Social media is filled with rumors, misinformation, personal attacks. Where locally can you get the whole story, unfiltered, so that you can make informed decisions at the ballot box? There's really only one place. It's on PCTV. On cable, on the PCTV Select app, and at pittsfieldtv.org. The whole story since 1986, PCTV. See it all and decide for yourself.
Hey, this is Dave Cachet, the archivist of the WTBR-FM Vinyl Library. Tune in Saturday mornings at 9 for Random Draw, a trip through the vinyl archives of WTBR. I'll take you back in time to when these records were brand new. Each week, I'm going to pick a random spot in the vast record library of WTBR and pull out a bunch of great vinyl to play for you. That's right, an hour's worth of random songs with that rich vinyl sound just the way you remember them. That's Random Draw, every Saturday morning at 9, only on WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sondrini.com.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Yes, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you on Friday, May 31st, and it's a beautiful, bright, sunny day out there, a little crisp this morning, no frost. We're not going to see that again for a few months, which we'll be happy about. Second half of our program today, we have Kathy Bisbee. She is the director of the Alliance for Digital Equity, and we will be talking about what is digital equity. We'll find out about that and digital navigation and what that means to people here in Berkshire County. First, let's get to the weather forecast and find out what we have in store for us. Here it comes.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the upper 40s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, sunny. Highs in the upper 70s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Not too bad. We like those short forecasts where things are simple. It's nice out there, and it's going to be nice for today and tomorrow. BCC commencement, by the way, is this afternoon at 4:30. That will be carried live on PCTV, so you can check it out there if you'd like. And great day for the graduates down at Berkshire Community College, actually graduating at Tanglewood. What a nice location to do that. And so congratulations to all the graduates there. All right. Kathy Bisbee is our guest here this morning. Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Good
Thanks
to have
for having
you.
Me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so people may have started to hear about terms like digital equity. And so we want to sort of flesh that out a little bit here this morning. What is digital equity. What are the goals for creating a circumstance where people can feel like they can be connected with technology?
Well, the idea is that we create a condition in which everyone in their communities have the information technology capacity needed for full participation in our society, in our democracy, and in the economy. Mm. So that's really the definition of digital equity.
Mm-hmm. Those conditions don't exist completely right now,
they
right?
Don't.
There are pockets of places and people that do not have those conditions.
That's absolutely true. And I think there's a myth out there that because everybody has one of these phones, not everybody does have one of these phones, but because so many people, they're so ubiquitous with our culture, having a smartphone over the last, 15 years, folks imagine that everyone has access to the internet. Mm. And that's just simply not true at all. My dad, who's 83, he's, low income vet living up in Western Maine in a rural community, very similar to parts of the Berkshires. Mm-hmm. He has a smartphone, but it's not updated. When I go up there, I have to update it for him. And oftentimes his old computer that I gave him, doesn't have the right software on it, mm-hmm. isn't updated regularly. Yeah. And so then he can't get on, or his computer crashes constantly. So I think when we're thinking about digital equity, there's a whole spectrum. Mm-hmm. It's not just, do you have internet? Do you have a device?
Yeah.
But also, do you have the technical and the digital literacy to be able to understand, what do I do when my computer crashes? What do I do when the mouse doesn't work with this laptop that I got? Or in my dad's case, I gave him a laptop and he didn't know how to use the trackpad,
mm-hmm.
because he never used a trackpad. He'd always been on a PC and he'd always had a mouse. And so, I think we really need to look at the whole spectrum of how people are using today's technology.
Yeah. And is it a generational thing? And I just mentioned that because I know that a lot of listeners will identify with the idea that sometimes you go to Thanksgiving dinner or special family functions and you become the tech support for your family, right? Everyone can identify with that to a certain extent, but that is part of the idea that technology moves very fast.
Yes.
The internet is not a utility. It's always been seen, right, as a luxury, right? But we're in the information age now, where really maybe some of this stuff should be mandatory and, an essential for life's operations.
Absolutely. And at the Alliance for Digital Equity's Berkshire convening that we held a couple of weeks ago in Pittsfield, we had about 50 participants that came from all over Berkshire County. And in fact, someone said that. They said the internet should be a utility. Mm. It should be like water or electricity. Yeah. It should be, everyone should have it in their home.
Yeah.
And when you don't, imagine, I can imagine I have family members like this who, during the pandemic only had flip phones or only had prepaid cell phones.
Right.
They weren't able to access the internet like the rest of us. And so not only are we dealing with isolation, and that's especially true for our aging adult population, but also they weren't able to apply for jobs. Or if you think about doing their schoolwork.
That's what really the pandemic kind of pulled the veil back on that, right? And said, wait a minute, not everybody is equal here.
Exactly.
There are people that have great access to not only the broadband bandwidth that you need for digital, connection, Zoom, all the other things that were necessary to either do your job or get your schoolwork done, right?
Right.
That you just didn't have the devices or maybe the skills necessary to navigate and get into that.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many different reasons why people during that time and now didn't have access. There's also privacy and security concerns. I mean, aging adults, we're about to put out a report on aging adults in technology in the Hilltowns by the Hilltowns Consortium in Chesterfield. And we'll be doing that press conference on June 10th to release that report. And one of the interesting things is that so many of the older adult population, especially, it was not a quick or smooth transition, but also for families going to the library, sitting outside the library with their phone so that their kid could do homework during the pandemic.
Yeah.
So that really, you're right.
For some people sitting
really
in their cars.
The problem.
Yeah, right, outside of a restaurant that offered free Wi-Fi or something.
Absolutely.
Just really an odd time. But it showed some of those inherent problems, right?
Yeah.
That we have in do, and it's not like the demands are going to get any less now
exactly.
that the pandemic's over. We're going to go back to what? No, things have moved forward already, and the demands are even greater.
There's also other myths that I think are really important to break down. Mm. For example, you know, if you have a cell phone and you can afford it, you have unlimited data on your phone,
mm.
and many of us do,
mm-hmm.
and it's sort of a hidden privilege that we don't think about. But, you know, if someone doesn't have the higher cost tiered plan to have a unlimited data, then they may run out of bandwidth and data reach that data cap, you know, halfway through the month.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a whole family who's using the same data plan, then after 2 weeks, no one's applying for jobs. No one's getting their schoolwork done. And also importantly, no one is able to reach out to services that they may need to help support themselves and their families. I think that's important as well.
Yeah. So what does the digital landscape look like in Berkshire County? And there are lots of different areas of Berkshire County, right? So the Alliance for Digital Equity serves Berkshire County and the Pioneer Valley?
So we are a 64 now member collaborative. So the Alliance is all of us.
Mm.
You're part of the Alliance now as well. And so we serve all four counties of Western Mass. So I think that's about 800,000 people in the region. There's a lot of folks.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that's really significant is just in February, Congress, actually in January, but it ran out in mid-May, the Affordable Connectivity Program, ACP, was a wonderful resource for folks for whom affordability was a really big issue for broadband or for high-speed internet.
What did that program provide for people?
So that provided a $30 subsidy a month for, you know, our most vulnerable populations.
Mm.
And so it's expired, and we are certainly trying to get our reps, both at the state level and the congressional and federal level, to provide an extension. And we're still hopeful that may happen.
Mm.
But in the meantime, and always, our communities are suffering. We have 70,000 folks in Western Mass that are affected by this, which is a lot of folks.
Yeah.
And in the whole state, it's about 300,000-400,000 people, right? So that's a lot of folks, you know, over a 250,000 folks who are impacted by this, who may have their internet disrupted now.
Yeah.
So one of the things that the Alliance has been doing, you know, we've existed in the three counties for since the pandemic. So my former boss, who just retired right when I started, is Dr. Frank Robinson. He was the vice president of public health at Bay State Health in Springfield. You know, he really saw it impacting healthcare and health, and really saw digital equity as a social determinant of health, which it is. It's also, I say that it's also a social determinant of civic participation, of economic participation, of workforce development. Everything is touched by digital equity, right? So,
well, again, it reminds me of arguments that were made, you know, a century ago, talking about electrification,
exactly.
And how, you know, there were places and people that didn't have electricity, and that had to be a public initiative to say, no, everyone needs electricity.
Yeah.
That is what we do now to run our society.
That's right.
And in the information age, the internet and connectivity is what our electricity is.
That's absolutely true. From your lips to Congress's ears and the FCC's ears, I mean, I think, you know, we need to keep fighting for that and advocating for that. And also we need to be advocating for local solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what the Alliance really has done is we've taken collective action. And, you know, we convened Frank and Michael De Chiara, who is my colleague, co-founded the Alliance with the idea that we might be able to have more impact if we joined forces together.
Mm-hmm.
This is a complex problem, and it's going to require complex solutions. And so, you know, they put together the Alliance. And I think, you know, what we recently have been doing is working with organizations in Berkshire County who are already doing digital equity. I mean, you know, let's just shout out to librarians right now, because librarians are like the OG, right? They are like the original digital navigators, and digital navigators are people who help folks figure out how to get on the internet.
Right. And the Berkshire F&AM here in Pittsfield has been really a leader in that space.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, you know, But there are a lot of folks who are doing things that look like digital equity, but they don't actually define it that way. And so I think the convening that we had on May 10th was really interesting to hear what people are doing. The areas of the county that showed up, you know, we had really good representation from South County and from Pittsfield and none from North County. And so I think, you know, we want to be doing a lot of outreach into North County to think about, okay, what's happening there already? And, you know, our job is we're not coming in from the valley and saying, you know, how can we help you? Not at all. We're here just to facilitate and create space so that the conversations can happen and we can help folks cross-pollinate and amplify. Much like your work, we're here to amplify voices that are already talking about these issues, but we're also here to provide some resources and support as we can. So we have organizations like CanCode who are working with, I know they're talking to Second Street, they're working with Berkshire Community College. They're also working with other programs like Mass Hires, one of their recovery programs, to provide digital literacy skills. And we also are going to be providing devices in Berkshire County. So, you know, we're looking at the digital literacy part of it, the device part of it. But we're also looking at public Wi-Fi. And so the City of Lee is actually one of our grant recipients that is going to be creating a public Wi-Fi. And we're going to be working with them to do that in the city.
And so that kind of tells me that there are different needs in different locations, right? In Berkshire County,
that's right.
You have two cities, and then everything else is basically small town. You know, is it that people need more access to broadband? Certainly some of the small hill towns now have better internet access and broadband than some of the cities do.
That's true.
Which is interesting, right? And then, but what does that landscape look like? What are the greatest needs and where, you know, is it more of a rural problem for access to devices and navigation and skills versus the more urban problem of, you know, what's the thing that you see?
Well, it's interesting because I think urban, suburban, and rural have a lot of similarities in this problem. While broadband's a problem for everyone, it's not just a rural problem, although often we think of it that way. There's entire blocks in Springfield and in Holyoke and East Hampton and places in the Valley that you can't even get a cell connection at all. And there's no Wi-Fi and there's no there's whole blocks of that. And in fact, one of the things that we're doing is working on the BEAD challenge, which is, I'm going to forget the acronym, but it's the broadband, it's broadband deployment, basically, across the state. And the federal government is doing an internet census. And so we actually will on...
What are they trying to find out with the census?
They're trying to find out what areas are served and what areas aren't served.
At a particular rate of speed, for example?
Exactly. So we'll be doing speed tests. You will be doing speed tests. I mean, we're just really helping to make sure that that information is coming from the federal government to the state, to the regions. And as a Western region, we are going to be doing a series of trainings for all of our community partners. So we'll be doing that with folks from the Berkshires, with folks from the Valley, to make sure that folks understand, okay, if I'm a nonprofit organization, how do I get registered to submit locations that we know are unserved? Because Massachusetts,
they say we have unserved.
Yeah,
right?
Well, right now
it's a definition, isn't
exactly.
It?
Yeah. I'm not. I don't have that handy, and I don't even know if that's out yet. We're waiting for the information to come down from the state. But
there's probably unserved, and then there's underserved. Right?
There's completely unserved, which is, there's no ISP that will get. Internet service provider that will get a broadband connection to my house. And if you're one of those people and you're listening right now, we would love to hear from you right away, because we want to make sure that you're on that map. So we'll be creating our own regional map. We'll be submitting all of that to the state. They have a website that they will be putting out. I think on June 10th, they'll be announcing that. I think it's called How's Your Internet? So that's through MBI, the Mass Broadband Institute. We'll also have it on our website, which is the AllianceForDigitalEquity.org. So the idea will be that nonprofit organizations, I think municipalities as well, can submit locations that they know are unserved and underserved. And then those locations will get put into this database that MBI is collecting all of this data. And then there's also going to be a challenge period after that that will be I think it's a 2-week or month-long challenge so that folks can say, actually, we know that this area is not served.
Yeah.
You're saying it's underserved, but actually we know that it's not served at all. So I think that's an important part of this work, is that we need to understand what exactly what you're asking, what that landscape looks like.
Is part of the problem that there are sometimes only one provider for broadband, you know, and I'm setting that one up for you a little bit, because everyone knows, and most people, I think, even the people that are served by a particular internet provider are not happy that they only have one choice, and that that choice is very expensive. Is that also part of digital equity? Is that whether it's affordable or not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, affordability is a huge issue. Affordability and accessibility are the two big issues. In terms of the broadband part, I mean, you know, you can have a device and you could have digital literacy skills, but if you can't get on the internet, obviously that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of why we're looking at community Wi-Fi, public Wi-Fi. MBI also has an apartment complex where they're actually putting fiber connections right to apartment buildings, right to the unit. So I know there, I'm pretty sure there's a couple of folks that they're working with already in housing in the Berkshires. But yeah, absolutely.
And is security an issue also? Because when you're talking about a shared Wi-Fi experience or something like that, you also have the potential issue of, you know, hacking and other things like that. Is that an issue?
That's a huge issue.
That follows into some of the other things you were mentioning before about seniors and maybe falling for, you know, particular scams and traps. And they're all out there.
Absolutely.
And they're getting more and more sophisticated all the time, right?
It's absolutely true. I mean, both, you know, back just to the BEAD challenge for one more second here. I mean, our biggest fear is that people that are the most disconnected will remain so and will remain isolated and not a part of this modern society with digital access. So with the BEAD challenge and also with, you know, privacy and other things, folks have a lot of reasons and disincentives to not go online. And so part of digital literacy is making sure that people understand what those scams are. We see that a lot in...
And it's always changing.
Yeah, and we see that a lot in the non-native English communities as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things a lot of our partners, you know, 64 organizations are doing is putting digital literacy training programs in Spanish. I know CanCode is providing that in... Definitely in Spanish, maybe in other languages as well. So I think that's also an important part. You know, we don't want people to be isolated. We don't want our most vulnerable populations to not have access to the resources and the tools that they need or be afraid, you know, to go on. That's certainly, you know,
There is a fear factor involved too, especially
absolutely.
For new technology or, you know, it can be intimidating for people.
Oh, absolutely.
Kathy Bisbee is my guest here this morning. She's the director of the Alliance for Digital Equity. And this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. Let's talk quickly, if we can, about digital navigation.
Oh, yeah.
And what that term means, it's a simpler concept than you might think, right? But let's talk about that and why that's important also, because there's kind of the two sides to this. There's the broadband, there's the access, the affordability that we talked about. But then there's also the skills, right? You need to navigate this stuff.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I mentioned this earlier, you know, digital navigators, librarians have been doing this for 30 years. Digital navigators are, the definition is that digital navigators are individuals who address the whole digital inclusion process. So home connectivity, devices, digital skills with community members. And I think this part is key, through repeated interactions. So why that's important is because for most folks who aren't yet online or who have limited skills, there's a relationship of trust that needs to happen. And I think this is especially true in our most vulnerable populations, especially true in populations who may have been promised lots of things by federal and government sources and may have a distrust in general of authority or government programs. And so I think it's really important that digital navigators are available, can go to the home, can meet people in community spaces that are safe to them and feel part of their community, and be able to work with them over time to help develop their digital knowledge, their digital literacy, to help them think critically. I mean, that's another component. I know that some of the work that you do is, you know, helping young people and older folks and folks who come in to understand social media, help them understand how to use Zoom and how do you add filters and...
Well, and not to be intimidated by it too, right? To say that it is doable. And that's sometimes the thing that we notice is that people immediately say, well, I can't possibly do that. It's not for me. Someone else, you more sophisticated people can do that. And like, well, no, that's what we teach here, right? We can bring you in and say, here's the camera, you know, here's the editing, here's the sound, you know, all the things that we've typically done with TV and radio. And I think about applying that into the digital realm and you say, well, it's the same type of thing. It's breaking that barrier down so that someone understands that it is within their power to be able to do that and to navigate it.
And I think, you know, it's I think critical thinking, I think a lot of people would agree with me that sometimes in this age we feel like that's of a bygone era.
And we certainly need more of it, don't we?
We need more of it. And I think a lot of times, you know, it is hard. It's become more and more difficult to filter out. You know, my husband and I will look, for example, you know, we'll be dreaming about someplace we want to travel to, and we'll both look at kayak.com or something, and he gets different results than I do, right? This is the best example I can think of. He'll get better flights than me, and I'm thinking, why is that? Well, we don't know why, but there's an algorithm, right, behind that that is showing him different information than mine. You know, we have cookies that are constantly... curating our existence on the internet that I'm oblivious to all that. So I think it's really important to break things down and help people understand, you know, what kind of filter bubble we're all living in. And that's really important for, you know, misinformation and disinformation and for us, you know, working on the kind of polarity that's existed in our culture. We're not going to break through that unless we demystify how those filter bubbles of information happen on the internet. There's ways you could break out of that. You can use, you know, Go.go, or you can be incognito mode so that you can minimize the impact of algorithms. And I think breaking that down to like the average person is a really important, it's a civic responsibility, frankly. And I think that is, that's it's a great segue into a partnership that, you know, I think I can tentatively announce it's still at the early stages, but we're really excited. We're going to be working with PCTV on digital navigation and thinking about how your team can both expand and complement existing programs that are happening already in the Berkshires, but thinking about how we can get a digital navigator from PCTV out into the community. It could be doing digital storytelling with seniors and older adults. It could be actually helping people with, you know, their computers, or even helping us to hand out devices to all parts of the county.
So we're excited about that. Very exciting, and lots to explore. For sure. And we're looking forward to being a part of that. It's so important for the community to be able to be a part of that. And there's a lot of need. And as you know, with the AI coming our way, it's never going to slow down, right?
No.
It's just going to keep accelerating and speeding up. And the needs for understanding how to navigate this technology is never going to go away. It's just going to be a constant need. Kathy Bisbee, we want to thank you so much for being here. We got about a minute left. Anything else you want to highlight?
Absolutely. So I just want to welcome everybody to the Berkshires Call on June 11th at 11 a.m., I believe. You can reach out to us. We have a Google form on our website for folks to fill out. We'll contact you, get you signed up for that so that you can come and hear about the kinds of programs and resources that we have available, especially for organizations. Please fill that web form
out. How do people get on that call?
That's if you fill the form out, we'll definitely get you on the call. You can also,
and that's on the website.
Yep. That's on the website, alliancefordigitalequity.org.
Okay.
And we also, you know, if you're interested in working in the BEAD challenge and helping us identify parts of the county that are underserved or, completely not served, please let us know about that as well. So we're excited.
And there certainly could be people within our listening range here of WTBR. We're beyond just the city of Pittsfield. We reach out into many other areas here with this radio station. If you're feel that you're underserved with your internet connection, please go to the Alliance's website. And again, mention what that is, Kathy.
AllianceForDigitalEquity.org.
Okay, there you go. Great to have you here this morning. It's fantastic work. It's hard work. It's good that it's being done and that it's focused here on the Berkshires and the Pioneer Valley, something where sometimes we get forgotten about from the rest of the state. It's important that that this work continue here as well.
Thank you, Sean.
So, all right. Thanks for being here. And folks, we have, I hope you have a great weekend. One more shout out to the graduates for BCC today. Congratulations on your commencement at Tanglewood. And we will see you there in just a little while today. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Take care.